This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from Chevrolet. At Chevrolet, we bring people together with the things that matter to them most. Visit Chevrolet.gm.ca.
Hello, I'm Sheila Rogers. Welcome to the best of Sounds Like Canada. You're listening to our podcast of the day's highlights of Sounds Like Canada, and you can catch our full show on CBC Radio 1 at 10 o'clock or a couple of times a day on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. David Silcox is the president of Sotheby's Canada. He's one of Canada's foremost writers on art and curators. He was there for the discovery of a huge collection of Canadian art in a couple of Vermont houses. Some of that art sold yesterday at a major Sotheby's auction. I'm delighted that David Silcox could join me this morning in Toronto. David, good morning.
Good morning, Sheila.
Well, David, first of all, how did you come to find this motherlode of Canadian art?
Well, it all began with a phone call from a small trust company in Westport, Vermont. They phoned on September the 4th and said, we have a client who has died, unfortunately, in Europe. And we opened the letter of instruction following his death. And among the things he has asked us to do is to call Sotheby's in Toronto because he has a collection of Canadian art that may have some value. So our staff said, What paintings do they have? And they said, well, we really don't know. There are a lot of them, but there's no list and there's no insurance, so it's really hard to tell. And they said, well, what are the names of some of the artists? They said, well, they didn't know. So they said, well, we'll get some of the names and call you back tomorrow. So the next day they phoned and said, there's somebody named Arthur Lismer, and there's somebody named Lauren Harris, and there's a Robert Pilot, and there's a A.Y. Jackson, and Kathleen Morris. And so I spoke to the gentleman. I said, well, I can't come down tomorrow, but I could come the day after. Would that be all right?
So, were you that calm? Or was this after you regained consciousness?
It seemed worth looking into.
I mean, David Silcox is the foremost expert on the Group of Seven, all right?
Well,
okay.
So, there's enough there to make it worth the trip. And it sounded as if there was a lot. And I've been on chases like this before, and sometimes it's something and sometimes it's nothing. But the fun of it is in the chase, of course.
Yeah.
So a colleague and I, Mark Buck, and I flew down to Montreal, rented a car, drove to Vermont about an hour and a half, went to the trust company. Then we went to this farmhouse in rural, just outside the town, about 5 or 6 miles, and walked in the back door into the mudroom. And there in the mudroom was a wonderful Molly Lambogue-Back painting, which set a record yesterday, by the way, and a Marion Scott painting, which the door nearly hit as we walked in, and it sold yesterday. It was on the cover of our catalog. It sold for $170,000 plus a buyer's premium. So we were off to a great start, and then walked into the dining room, and there was a Harris and a Lismer and a Pilot, and into the living room. And the place was, I wouldn't say it was impeccably kept. Things were piled here and there. And there were paintings stacked on the floor as well as on the hanging on the wall near the sideboard and against the sofa and against the easy chair. And in fact, one of the paintings I pulled out from behind the easy chair was this wonderful Tom Thompson that we sold yesterday. Not for as much as I had hoped or expected, but still it did quite well. It sold for with a buyer's premium close to $700,000.
Let me just stop you at this Tom Thompson painting. We're going to make sure that people can see it on our website. There's also a link right now on cbc.ca. If you go to cbc.ca, Google Tom Thompson, Algonquin Park. How did you know it was Tom Thompson?
I've done a couple of books on one on Tom Thompson, a couple on Tom Thompson, and one on the Group of Seven on Tom Thompson. So I know his work quite well. And usually when you look at something like that, you know him instantly just because you've got a bank of images of his in the back of your mind. For somebody like David Milne, for example, for which I've done a catalog of all of the works, I can tell you pretty much what day he painted them on. So when I looked at it, there was no doubt in my mind what it was. And it also had, of course, the J.E.H. MacDonald stamp. Right. In the corner, which J.H. MacDonald and his son had put on the Thompson sketches that were in the studio when Thompson died.
How did you feel at that moment?
Well, it was exciting beyond measure. I just couldn't believe the amount of material that was there. It was just spectacular, both in terms of quantity and quality. Usually you get a lot of, the number of really good items is very few in a large mass of things. But this had this spectacular range of works with a particular focus on the painters of the Beaver Hall Hill group, particularly the women, and they were mostly women, actually, although Holgate was a member. There were the Kathleen Morris's on the wall. There was one big canvas and six sketches on either side of the canvas. There were more works of hers upstairs in the bedrooms. And in the bedrooms upstairs, the things were not only on the wall, they were on the beds, behind the beds, under the beds. It was stacked against the dresser and all. It was just amazing. So it took us quite a while just to make a list of things. But there were, $2.5-3 million worth of things. And yesterday's sale sold about $3.8 million worth of material from that farmhouse alone.
Mm. What was the total, I guess, the total number of paintings that came from the farmhouse?
Well, of the ones that we put in the sale, there were about 75 of value, or close to 100, I would say, that were actually worth $5,000 and up. Mm-hmm. There was a very large chunk of paintings by T. Moore Martin. He was a late 19th, early 20th century painter who worked for the CPR. And he had been, I think he was Michael Dunn's, Michael Dunn was the owner of all these works, mm-hmm. the deceased owner of all these works. Moore Martin was the grandfather, or the great grandfather of Michael Dunn, and they had the residue of his works were about 130 works, oils and watercolors. Most of those were in the summer house, which is about a half a mile away from the farmhouse, on Lake Memphremagog.
Wow.
So, and then there were an assortment of minor things, but altogether, we were looking at something like close to 250, 280 works.
I can't imagine being you and finding all these paintings.
Oh, it was exciting beyond measure. And it got more interesting because, of course, looking at them and telling them what they had was one thing, and then getting the executor to agree to sell them at Sotheby's was another. So the following week, after we gave him a preliminary list and a letter saying what we would do as an auction house, I went back down a week later as it turned out, luckily, an SUV with another colleague, Leah Carey, who's the vice president of Sotheby's. And he consigned all the works, and we promised to take 30 of the most expensive ones right then and there, because these works weren't insured and the executor was at risk. He was glad to get them out of the house. We put them in the back of this rental SUV we had and headed for the Canadian border. Two things happened which were funny. One, we realized suddenly that we'd already crossed the border without crossing a border point. We were suddenly in Quebec without knowing we'd left Vermont. So we were driving along a country road, and we actually came out to the border point we were supposed to be at on the Canadian side. So that was pretty funny. But we did the honorable thing. We went back into the States and came through properly because we have to declare all these things, of course.
Right.
And then we had a scuffle with the customs people. We were there for over 2.5 hours. Discussing the reimportation of these works. And they said, these works, we have no proof that these were properly imported into the United States. Therefore, you have to pay GST. So in the end, we did pay the GST, $127,000 worth.
This is a great Canadian story, isn't it?
I said to the customs man, I said, you want cash or you take my credit card? And he had a good laugh at that, and so did I. But I got arranged for our broker at Pearson Airport to issue the check. And, of course, we get it back because we're resellers, but it was a funny little fillip. And then we drove all the works on to Montreal.
David.
So there you go.
Tell me about the collector. Who was Michael Dunn?
Michael Dunn was a Montrealer who had inherited quite a bit of wealth, I gather, and who 30 years ago moved to Vermont, where his family had had a summer place at the bottom of Lake Memphremagog. His property is sort of right on the border. He looks out his kitchen window into Canada, practically. And I know very little about him. The people who knew him thought he was a wonderful man who was interested in books and art. And he was also a big collector of watches and clocks. And probably has a larger collection of watches than of art, than of paintings. But he was a businessman, and he did a lot of community work in Westport and in parts of northern Vermont, and sat on a number of business boards.
You mentioned not only the works by the well-known members of the Group of Seven, but also the Beaver Hill Hall Group. And why are they important?
They're the same generation as the Group of Seven. They were women painters who I always thought were exceptionally wonderful painters. People like Prudence Heward and Anne Savage and Sarah Robertson. They are wonderful painters, but they did different things than the Group of Seven did. Instead of wandering around the country and painting the geography of Canada, they painted domestic scenes, street scenes, in and around Montreal and Quebec and Ottawa, where they lived. And I think that now that people are looking at their work, because who can afford major works by Lauren Harris, Tom Thompson, or A.Y. Jackson these days, they're finding that they're really quite as good in terms of their painting and aesthetic qualities, and really very exciting to painters to collect and to live with.
And what was the response at auction yesterday?
Pretty strong across the board for the Beaver Hall painters. We had quite a varied collection. We had a very good contemporary section, and those went really well. The Group of Seven did okay. Some wonderful works there, but the real force of the auction, I think, was around the Beaver Hall group of paintings and the Dunn collection itself.
You'd mentioned that you'd hoped that the Tom Thompson sketch you discovered would have done better. How well did it do?
Well, the hammer price was $550,000, so the person who got it believes he actually got a bargain, and I agree. I thought it might hammer down at around seven or eight at least, or maybe nine. And we all thought that, as a matter of fact, but it didn't happen. And I think part of it may be because there are quite a number of Thompsons all of a sudden, after a long stretch with very, very few, if any, in the auction seasons. There are now about seven or eight up for auction this month. So people may be making choices.
What was a highlight for you?
Well, there were two or three, and oddly enough, although some of them occurred with the Dunn collection works, like the Marion Scott, I think for me one of the most exciting moments, and I wasn't even in the room for this, was the sale of the Brian Jungen, the mask. I don't know if you saw the Globe and Mail this morning, but there it is, smack on the front page of the review section, at least of the edition we get. But this is this wonderful mask that this 37-year-old, a native of British Columbia, has made out of Nike, Jordan running shoes. It's absolutely a marvelous thing, and we had nine phone bidders on that, from Europe, from the United States, and from across Canada. And it sold at estimates of $25,000 to $35,000, and it ended up selling for $163,500. Spectacular, and of course in the auction room, the bidding was going up from 35 to 40 to 45 to 50, and suddenly somebody bid $100,000 just to get to where they wanted to get. They knew it was going to go for more, so it's sort of an electric moment in the auction room. The second was for a wonderful painting by Marc-Aurel Fortin, a Montreal painter, a Quebec painter who actually lived in St. Rose, just north of Montreal. a gorgeous painting that I discovered or got from a consigner in Ottawa. And we had a previous record for 410 a couple of years ago, $425,000. This one, after very spirited bidding and one disappointed bidder getting up and walking out, sold for just over $800,000. A spectacular result. This was a painting we had on the back of our catalog, a beautiful thing, but it was a magnificent work. It was one of these things. It was all trees, oddly enough, and it had this, but it had this wonderful feeling that you could lie underneath a tree, or one of his trees at least, and feel comfortable in the world. It had a wonderful feeling of peace about it, and it was a 1923 canvas. And they're very rare. I didn't realize they were as rare as they are. There were only about six of them. So maybe that accounts for some of the reason for the price. But that was spectacular, a way to end the auction. It came right at the end.
David, how does this find fit into the larger perspective of Canadian art? I mean, I guess if you are a researcher doing, specializing in the Beaver Hill Hall group, you're in ecstasy right now.
Yes, and I've talked to one of the ladies who actually writes about them, Evelyn Walters, and she's just thrilled with the attention they're getting. And I think they and deserve. You know, I was very pleased too to see that there's some recognition for women painters generally. There were seven records for women set yesterday, and I've been sort of coaxing it along and encouraging this because I think it's really important. So I think that really helps something like this sale with the concentration on that group of painters certainly helps that cause.
David, thanks so much for coming in to talk to me this morning.
Well, it's great fun.
Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
David Silcox, the president of Sotheby's Canada, among many other things, and one of Canada's foremost art writers and critics. You're listening to Sounds Like Canada on CBC Radio 1 and Sirius 137. That's the best of Sounds Like Canada. Highlights from our show on CBC Radio 1, heard weekday mornings at 10 o'clock. I'm Sheila Rogers. Thank you for listening.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.